From the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank's State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Carmen and Yurko.
Live from the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio.
This is
ESPN 1000.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
We've got Joe Rogan tickets to give away at the Chicago Theater for Friday, August 5th. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m., but you can win them right now. Callers 10, 20, and 30 at 312-332-3776. You're going to the Joe Rogan Show across the street from where we are right now, the Chicago Theater, on Friday, August 5th. Callers 10, 20, and 30. Just after 1 o'clock, we're 1 hour down, 1 hour to go before we say hello to Sylvie and Friedel. 312-332-3776, the number. Carmen off. Jesse Rogers here with Yurko on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Yurk, you're going to hit the little white ball around?
Not today. Okay. Tomorrow I will.
Wasn't sure which day.
Yeah, tomorrow I will. No. Tomorrow I've got league. I've got league tomorrow, so I'll get out there and play night. Friday I'm playing down. I'm taking a day. I'm going down to Mattoon Country Club.
Right.
Eastern Illinois is having an outing, the Panther Club, so we'll go down there, bumping into a bunch of old teammates down there, guys I played with, older and younger, so we'll get down there, we'll have a little bit of fun.
Talking NFL, roster rankings are not as interesting as quarterback rankings, and you've written yours out. I'm really curious where you see Fields with this new team that basically is around him in a sense.
I've given you the Yurko's 13 here, and Justin Fields isn't anywhere near this.
Nowhere near it.
Nowhere near what I've got going on right now is Justin Fields.
So he's a bottom half at least, if not bottom third right now.
No, he's in the bottom third for
bottom
sure.
Third,
yeah,
wow.
He's in the 20s. That's where he is. If you looked at the way he played last year, there's nowhere else you could put him but in the bottom third of the quarterbacks in this league.
It's such a disappointment because truly great talents emerge even with crap around you, in my opinion. And so you'd like to,
unless the system's crap.
Well, I mean.
And anybody would struggle in a system that's crap with a coach that doesn't know how to call plays.
And at least if you're a Fields fan, that's what you can bank on.
And that's what I'm banking on is improvement.
And that's
for
why
him.
I'm actually interested to see what Trubisky does. Now, granted, he's a couple years removed. Maybe he's matured. But
he's a fifth-year guy.
If Trubisky turns into some all-pro, man, that's another
Do you judge a fifth-year guy against this?
No. I'm judging him against Matt Nagy.
So what's your judgment going to be when Kenny Pickett is playing? And Trubisky is doing what he will do best and will do the rest of his career. It's hold the clipboard and listen to the plays being called and write them down.
Here's the thing. I actually agree with you.
Could be very lucrative for him.
But there's a lot of people, our pappy Mike North included, thinks that Trubisky is going to take off now.
I don't worry about people that don't know much about football.
Oh.
I really don't. You know, I worry about what I know and what I do. You had come to a decision on whether you're going to pay Mitch Trubisky or not. And he wanted to be paid like he was a superstar, and he was not a superstar.
Yeah.
That's where you were at.
Yeah.
That's where you were at. And so do you want to take the contract you signed in Pittsburgh or in Buffalo with the Chicago Bears? No.
No.
He was never going to accept that. So all this, let's look back in time and see what we have, didn't make a difference. And now, if it was Nagy, it was Nagy. Okay? That's fine. But that's the system he came up in, and that's the way he's got to be judged. And when he's a backup to Kenny Pickett, we'll be able to talk all we want about him.
And that's the beauty of what you just said. That's the way he should have been judged. You can't change history, but I am looking forward to what he is in the future.
If you're a Trubisky fan.
I'm not.
And I'm saying, in general, if people are Trubisky fans and they wish him well and he goes to Pittsburgh and he plays well, then good for Mitch Trubisky and good for all the people that were Mitch Trubisky fans.
I'm just saying it's another nail in Nagy's coffin.
Of course he is. And it's another.
Same thing with Fields if he plays well.
It's another nail in the Ryan Pace's.
Yeah.
Coffin and another one in George McCaskey's decision-making process.
Well, yeah, I mean,
because he hired him.
I don't know. Maybe
he hired Pace. He hired this guy.
Yeah. Maybe Pace gets a little, black off of him, so to speak. Like it's not so bad if Trubisky performs. Then maybe he drafted the right guy, just hired the wrong coach.
Not much of a mystery here when we go to quarterback rankings.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to go. One is Mahomes. 2 is Rodgers.
I like them.
3 is Josh Allen. 4 is Tom Brady. 5, Russell Wilson. I don't think anybody's going to not be happy with that top 5. But you could go ahead and move him any way you want. I'm not going to argue with you. If you don't think Mahomes is number 1, you want Josh Allen up there. I do. I got Russell Wilson as top 5.
I'm not going to be the one.
Then I go Deshaun Watson 6, Lamar Jackson 7, Kyler Murray 8, Justin Herbert 9, the two Matts, Stafford, Matt Ryan 10 and 11, Dak Prescott, and then this is the portion of the list at 13. Mm-hmm. Where you could really put any name down there. Yeah. If I put Tannehill there, if I put Jimmy Garoppolo there, if I put Mac Jones there, I'm not really upset with myself and anything that I put there. That's where you get to the point where you're really kind of going to a different direction.
I guess, again, novice, just fan as that I am, I think people would probably argue Justin Herbert being that low, right?
What, at 9?
Yeah. Shouldn't he be a little bit higher?
So if we look at it in tiers, which is the way John Clayton wanted to do it, I go 1 through 5.
Is one tier?
Is tier 1. Then I'd go 6 through 12 being tier 2. And then at Ryan Tannehill, Garoppolo, and them, I'd go tier 3 all the way down to probably 22. Then tier 4 would be 23 all the way
back.
All right,
that makes sense to me, because at least I would put Herbert maybe near the top of tier 2.
Well, you could do that. Right. I won't argue.
I'm not putting him in tier 1.
If you want to take Deshaun Watson because he's not playing and take him from 6th and put him all to 12th, and reshuffle the lineup any way you want it, I'm not even going to argue with you.
Got it.
Okay? But that's why Clayton always did in tiers.
Right, right.
And then when I told you your top 5, you think Mahomes is 3 and you want to put Josh Allen 1, I'm not going to argue with you.
No, I like that. You're right, tiers.
That's
because
fine.
Then we don't need to split hairs on whether a guy should be 5 or 4.
If you think one's above the other one, you can go ahead and have that discussion.
But how about this discussion?
Dak Prescott's my last quarterback in tier 2.
Yeah.
And Dak Prescott, if he doesn't play well this year, is going to fall into a tier 3 quarterback. That's where it's going for him.
You're convinced Wilson's still a tier 1, Russell?
Yes, I am convinced he's tier 1, and we'll see in Denver whether he's proven right or not.
No, he got hurt last
year. He was a year and a half removed away from being the MVP of the league. If you remember, in 2020, he was the MVP of the league for the first 9 weeks of the season. And
he hurt his pinky last year, and he was never the same. I'm wondering if he's still tier 1. That's one I'm wondering, and I want to know how far Justin Herbert is from tier 1.
He still weighs away.
He's still 2, but I'm curious if he's going in that.
Well, he could be heading in that direction, and I know our guy's got a boy crush on him.
Right.
Carmen DeFalco's got a big, big boy crush on him. And, okay, that's fine, but you still need to see better play.
Am I wrong? Again, I don't follow.
Steadier play.
Is there Herbert?
Better play.
Dahl and Bleck could probably answer. Is Herbert more of like a fantasy guy than, you know, what the experts think of him? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's a fantasy guy.
No. I think he's
top 5 quarterback.
Yeah, he's a top quarterback. Okay, so I'd say Herbert and Burrow are in the conversation of the elite.
Yeah.
They're the next guys.
That might be a guy that I missed, Burrow.
Only because
I've got an anti-Cincinnati bias going into this year. Because I've heard so much about Cincinnati. Oh, don't forget Cincinnati. Things fell into place for Cincinnati last year. They capitalized on that. Congratulate them.
But, Yurko, to your point, though, going back to last segment about the Bears and their win total and how many games they're going to win, how many of those quarterbacks in your top 13 do the Bears play? Oh.
Let me see. KC, they play Rodgers. They play Josh Allen. Do they play Tampa? They don't, I don't believe.
No, they don't play Tampa.
They don't play Denver.
No.
Because they're playing the AFC East and the NFC East. They don't play... Watson's not playing. Lamar Jackson, they do play, right?
No.
He's in the Central or
so not
the
many.
North.
They get Rodgers, they get Allen.
Herbert, no. Stafford, no.
No.
Dak, they get.
Matt Ryan is with who again now?
The Colts.
Indianapolis Colts, they don't play him.
Nope.
Prescott.
They do get Dak, yes.
They do get Dak, so it's 2 of the top 13. They don't play Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So if you've got him up into the top 13.
So Rodgers, Josh Allen, and
Dak.
And
that's
Dak.
That's it.
I would take the over, 6.5.
Winnable games.
First year coach, best behavior, winnable games.
And that might be a name that I overlooked is Joe Burrow, too.
But they don't play Bengals.
They don't play the Bengals at all. But I got Cincinnati coming off of that Super Bowl.
Little letdown?
Doing the old banquet,
banquet tour.
I got them coming back a little bit.
And the other thing is everybody's going to be shooting for them. I mean, I remember the Cubs in 17, they were getting everybody's attention by then, So you're right, but Burrow is a winner, And
they've got talented wide receivers, guys. Ooh. They've got talented wide receivers.
Ja'Marr Chase feels like one of those guys that doesn't. He's going to get his no matter what. He proved that last year. No matter what you do to him,
and the quarterback likes to find him.
Yes, he does.
They got a nice little camaraderie from their collegiate.
But they've got the target.
Oh, and our guy Justin Fields. I don't think you guys would argue with this. I got him 23-24.
Yeah, it sounds
That's
about
where
right.
I am, right?
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Until he proves it. Until he proves it.
Isn't that sad, though?
In a sense? No, it's
not. No, because Jesse, like some guys how Yurko's laid it out, he showed you some flashes, but he was very inconsistent. He turned the ball over a lot last year. I think it's generous. I think most rankings probably would put him at like 30.
I'm not disagreeing with the ranking. I'm saying I wished a top pick like him automatically was 15th.
Well,
just
I mean,
on talent.
Like, would Yurko put Trevor Lawrence at 15? Like, no, I assume that Trevor Lawrence is in the same ballpark as Justin Fields.
He's Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
No, those guys have not made people around them better. No. They haven't done any
Carson
of that stuff.
How about this? Fast forward. If we're sitting here next summer and Justin Fields still is only like 24 and we're not talking about potential superstar or stardom, then it's a problem.
And you've got to make a decision after next year on his fifth year option.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we're going to talk to Buster Olney next from ESPN. Transition back to baseball, 312-332-3776. If you have a thought for Buster, or you can tweet us at Yurko64, at Jesse Rogers, ESPN. Buster Olney, you see him every Sunday night on the sideline for Sunday Night Baseball. He'll cover everything. I'm really curious what his thoughts are on the White Sox. We'll talk to him next on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We're back on ESPN 1000. Jesse Rogers and Yurko till 2. We talked baseball, transition to football. Now back to baseball. Cubs and Reds tonight, Sox and Angels. You can hear that game right here on ESPN 1000. Pregame starts at 8. Let's start with the Sox. Why not? They're everyone's favorite topic as we bring in the one and only Buster Olney. You can read him at ESPN.com. Watch him on Sunday Night Baseball as he does this great work on the sideline for that. Where are you guys this week, Buster? Where are you on Sunday?
You caught me flat-footed there for just a millisecond. We are in Philadelphia this weekend. We're definitely hitting the Groundhog Day part of the season. We're in Philadelphia this Sunday, and they're going to be playing host to the St. Louis Cardinals. Looks like Zach Wheeler probably against Adam Wainwright, it looks like.
Yeah, you've had the Phillies a few times. We'll talk outside of Chicago in a moment, but we've got to talk about the White Sox. It's always good to get an outsider's view. You know, everyone wants to know where the blame lies. I think when you're under 500, there's enough to go around, Buster. But let me just, open it up for you. You know, go wherever you want with it. What do you think about the White Sox underachieving season? Where have you directed your attention to?
No, I don't think you can go anywhere but the injuries. And I mean, that's absolutely at the heart of it. To lose Tim Anderson for an extended period of time, to have Grandal, given what they're paying him, Lance Lynn at the beginning of the season, they've just been devastated. And here's the thing, too, and I think it's important to remember, while it's been disappointing in the standings so far, it's not like they're in a race of immortals. You know, the Minnesota Twins are not necessarily a great team. I think folks with other teams are fascinated to see what the Twins will do with Carlos Correa as we get close to the trade deadline, because he's got an opt-out at the end of the year. You know, maybe they keep him. They certainly have the option of exploring a deal of some kind. The Guardians have one of the lowest payrolls in baseball. They have a very, it feels like a fragile equation for success. You give them all kinds of credit. I think Terry Francona should be in the race for manager of the year. But, look, it's not going to take a lot for the White Sox to launch themselves back into the race.
So it's really about getting healthy in your world.
That's what I think. Now, I have talked with some executives who are attached to teams that we were perceived to be sellers, and they say that the White Sox are poking around, in terms of, potentially having some interesting guys. We'll see how much that ramps up. I don't think it's going to take a lot. I don't look at the White Sox as, staring at a Mount Everest of a challenge. It's more like a something that they can definitely overcome with the right move or two.
Would they be looking for pitching or a left-handed thunder stick?
Yeah, I think both.
Yeah.
I think yes to both. I think they clearly are a team that could use some balance in the lineup. We'll see. I haven't gotten flat out, I don't know how Jesse, what his sense is and what he's feeling. My sense is right now is that the trade market really hasn't started heating up yet. Everyone in baseball is mostly focused on the July 17th draft. There might be some moves before that, but I think once we get to the All-Star break, that's when teams will really begin to ramp it up. There are teams out there, the Cincinnati Reds, the Oakland Athletics, who clearly, are ready to move for the right offer. But I don't have a sense that there's a lot of hot and heavy stuff going on.
Yeah, it seems like teams are, the whole baseball world is adjusting to the new calendar where the draft comes much later and much closer to the trade deadline. So I think they're sort of adjusting to that. No one's really overly complained to me about it, but it is an adjustment. So I think you're right. You probably, from the All-Star break on, we'll hear things. Yeah, I think Sox, left-handed bat is obvious. Left-handed pitching, Crochet went down. Bummer's been in and out. Like, Andrew Chafin, if the Tigers want to give him up, is going to be some people after him. He's got another year left. There's not that many lefty bats or arms that are available, so there could be a little bit of a seller's market there.
No, I'm making a mistake here because, we're going to have a trade deadline shows. We're going to be talking trades throughout the month of July and probably hyping it up a little bit. What I'm getting back from a lot of folks around baseball is, the trade deadline this year will not be as juicy as it's been in the past. Last year, Trey Turner and Max Scherzer going in the same deal. We've had some big names in recent seasons. Luis Castillo is a terrific pitcher with the Cincinnati Reds. I don't think anybody, that we're going to be, interrupting SportsCenter with live cut-ins for a Luis Castillo trade. Same thing with Frankie Montas of the Oakland Athletics, who probably is going to be the best starter who moves. Andrew Benintendi, and I would suspect that if you're the White Sox, you're taking a look at him. Brian Reynolds, Pittsburgh Pirates. But these are not big names. And generally speaking, I think before the deadline, you're going to see a bunch of contenders add a relief pitcher to bolster their bullpens because everybody now, the way bullpens are used is focused on depth. Wilson Contreras, I would assume, will move someplace. It is interesting that some of the teams that I've spoken with really feel like that integrating Contreras into their catching mix is more problematic than idiots like me think when we talk about possible teams that could be interested in Contreras.
Yeah, my idea before we switch over to the Cubs is pair him with one or two starters and make it a little bit easier of a transition than you DH him the other days. That's why I think the Rays are a better match than Houston, who doesn't have room at DH, and they don't want to pull Maldonado. Anyway, let's move to the Cubs.
Is Contreras the only valuable asset there is to sell there, or is there anything else they can get some minor league draft choice for? I mean, not draft choice, but minor league player.
Player.
Well, relievers, and we saw last year. They flipped a bunch of relievers toward the end, but it's not. I mean, last year they traded, core guys, franchise guys, and this year it's not going to be the same type of same level of guys. But it's interesting because baseball, generally speaking, when they evaluate paper players, take a very long view. They don't believe in small sample size. Well, when you get to mid-July, small sample size means everything.
Yeah.
And if you get a reliever who's really hot, three or four great outings and his velocity ticks up a little bit, all of a sudden it's like a stock and everyone says, hey, we're going to take a look at that guy. And the Cubs have the opportunity to have guys like that.
Visiting with Buster only here on ESPN 1000. I'd even apply that to Kyle Hendricks, who's had some ups and downs. But we've seen moments where he looks like the old Kyle Hendricks. And if they want to move him, I think what scouts see in July will be important. I want to pull back a little bit and just ask you about the season in general. There's a great feature on Rob Manfred at ESPN.com written by one of our guys, Don Van Natta. And I spent time at the league office about a week ago, Buster. I just want to, they're looking forward to the rule changes, especially the pitch clock. How do you think this season is going? And do you think this is really about the future as soon as next year and seeing a difference in how this game is played?
Yeah, it feels like this is a transition year and that, everyone is still catching up to some degree. because everything was done on the fly. Once you get the lockout over with, they get the agreement, people are scrambling, teams are finding players. But we don't have some of the bigger changes occurred this year that, you know, we're going to see in future years. Regulation of shifts. You know, the big phrase is going to be spikes in the dirt, I believe. Infielders, you know, required to stay in the infield, you know, two on each side if that's the way they go. A pitch clock, you know, potentially. Electronic strike zone. All those really big changes, you know, that we're not seeing those this year. I think that when in the darkest days of the labor stoppage, we were all concerned about the impact on baseball. I don't think we've really seen it. I don't think there's any question that affected attendance to some degree. That's down, but I don't think it's significant. And I think fans, because there weren't any regular season games apparently missed, then I think fans have rolled right back into it. We've got great storylines. I think there's a chance in August and September that we're going to be following Aaron Judge, potentially, the way that we followed Sosa and McGuire in 1998, with a lot of fans excited to see if he can hit number 60.
Yeah, interesting stuff. You know, I think the one thing about the season that's become obvious, though, is the haves and the have-nots. And I don't know if that's because the CBT went up. But, I mean, if you're in a city with a have, it's going to be a great race, right? If you're in a city with a have-not, it's a different story. But we basically see half the league kind of in it and half the league way out of it, right? I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, and baseball, you know, for all the talk that that we had about, you know, changing some of the dynamics of tanking and service time manipulation, basically nothing was done.
Right.
And so what we're seeing is, you know, there are a number of teams that are, their payroll is at the same level that the Mets are paying Max Scherzer.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you can line up the best teams in baseball, and it mostly corresponds with the teams that have the highest payrolls. And that's not a great look for baseball. You know, there hasn't been as grossly egregious cases of service time manipulation like we saw with Chris Bryant, but still, it still goes on.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't think anybody wants to talk about the next labor agreement, but I do think some of those big issues were kicked down the road, and I think next time there will be, because I talked to a ton of rank and file players who are concerned, like, you know, how can we get teams like the Orioles, you know, like the Pirates, like the Rays, to spend $100 million and actually expend some of the resources they have?
No doubt. I think if you talk to agents, too, they're just happy, at least they're a little happy that the conversation has now begun about tanking and payroll floors. Like, at least they're starting that. But you're right. It's going to be kicked down the road about 4 years. Last thing, Buster, Black and Abdallah, our producers, told me, I didn't know this, but Peacock Sunday's game is they're going to broadcast that with no play-by-play or analyst. It's going to be like the sideline reporter interviewing scouts and stuff. I'm not quite sure. Have you heard of this? And well, I mean, if they did it on Sunday night, they'd feature you at least in the stands a lot. But I hope the future isn't no play-by-play guy, or we'd all be in trouble, right?
I've read about it. I've been and spent some time. I didn't make any phone calls to say, hey, what actually is the broadcast going to be comprised of? But Jesse, you and I have covered a lot of sleepy, Thursday morning spring training B games.
Yeah.
And if that's what it sounds like, I think a lot of people go, you know what? Book Shambi, Lem Casper, please come back.
There you go. We'll see how it works out. Buster, thank you so much for your time. We'll be watching Sunday night.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That's Buster Olney. Does a great job. ESPN.com. Let me ask you this, Yurko. Huge, huge feature on Rob Manfred. Are you gonna read it? Skim it, maybe?
Yeah, I'll read it. I don't have a problem. Okay. I like finding out like what Adam Silver's doing.
Yeah.
What Bettman is doing over with the NHL. Yeah, because all these guys, you know, commissioners.
The idiot
that runs the PGA Tour.
Right.
Yeah, Jay Moynihan. I like to see what they're thinking.
They don't give the access very often. So I'm interested to read it as well, just because, you know, Rob is portrayed as bad as any commissioner out there. So can he spin it where you end up reading and saying, oh, okay, I get his point of view. I don't know. 312-332-3776. The number you'll hear from Jay Hood coming up next on ESPN 1000.
Working from home? We're back in the office? Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hey there, buddy. Hey there.
Guys.
I don't know how you put up with those two every day, Yurko.
Every day. Well, this is the new addition for the good kid.
We're so mean to Jesse.
Yeah, this is a new addition for the good kid.
I know. It's been like a couple months, though.
Yeah, it's been a month and a half.
Old addition, though.
Month and a half.
Feels like a year and a half, I'm sure.
And, you know, with, again, you get used to not having them. Now you got to get used to having them again, you know?
That's right.
It's the way it works. Hey, welcome back, boys.
Thanks.
Oh, thanks, Yurko. Good to see you.
How about that?
Good to see you.
We're just really mean to Jesse.
6 to 8 tonight?
Oh, yeah. Full show.
Jesse, you want to come on tonight?
No, you've got a full show, I'm sure. You've got songs to play and
I'm the easiest guy
to make fun of.
Hey,
it's what we do best.
I'm the easiest guy in the world to work with.
Yeah.
I'll never call you. I'll never demand nothing from you.
Right.
I'll never say, hey, I have to have this or I have to have that. Nothing.
I said, but you want Buster only? He said, sure, we'll talk to Buster.
I show up and I do shows. This is what I do.
Yes, it is.
I demand nothing of my producers. All I want is friendliness and a smile.
So you're opposite of Sylvie.
And maybe a cup of coffee.
Opposite
my meeting,
of Sylvie.
My ideal meeting is 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Are we having anybody
that.
On?
I've noticed
what time?
That.
Boom, that's it.
Last 2 days,
let's play ball.
That.
You don't do the show in the studio. That's worst
right.
place in the world to do it. Is
you mean in the meeting room.
I mean
room.
In the meeting room.
Right.
You do the show here.
You don't do the show on the studio.
Oh, pipe down.
Sometimes you don't.
You do the show here.
Right.
Okay, when we're
right.
on the air in the prescribed time.
Right.
Nothing worse than doing a show 1 hour before the show.
There were a couple moments where I started opening my mouth upstairs.
Yeah,
save it, Jeff.
I don't want to hear it. I want it fresh. I want it raw.
You don't think salad's an app? Save it for
That's
the show.
Right. Exactly.
And we come from the Yurko School of Thought.
What was the conclusion to that?
Think long, think wrong.
The
salad's not an app. Even if it's a side salad, it's a side. Right. It's not an app.
I can live with a side.
Same thing with soup. Yeah. Soup could be a side. Soup cannot be an app.
You never order a table soup for everyone to share.
Yeah, but you do order a salad for everybody.
I should have brought this up last night. Went to Joe's with Adam Amin, Friedel, John Grieber, Roman. We should have had
Thanks for the invite.
Did you have the lobster bisque?
It's not like we're not friends with all those guys.
You guys weren't around.
Well, you know, he's got a national stench on him, so he likes to run with the national guys every once in a while.
Yeah,
and now that the Athletic finally sold to somebody who's willing to lose money, you know, he can afford to go to Joe's now. Used to be, you know, he'd be stealing crackers from upstairs feed the family.
Oh,
we're talking about John Greenberg.
Yes.
Funny man. Good man, too.
Yeah. Sarcastic man.
Yes. Very funny.
Your type.
Anybody from Chuggo there?
Nobody from Chuggo was there?
No.
Did you find out how to say it?
That's a big event.
I saw the Cubs Chuggo guy in the press box yesterday, and I said, hey, we gave you a plug. And I mentioned Chuggo, and he just laughed and shook his head. He's like, oh, man.
Well, we did mention it. I don't know how the hell to pronounce it.
I don't either. I still don't.
Chuggo.
312-332-3776. So yesterday was a big day in politics, right?
Illinois, five states across the country. Right? So I was listening to Cap and Jay Hood this morning. Jonathan Hood was hosting. And did you guys know that Cap ran for office?
I did not know that.
In his district, Jonathan Hood had the information for us this morning.
Election night was last night, and my buddy Cappy, he won his district. I'm so happy for him. Here is his acceptance speech.
Thank you. My fellow Chicagoans, thank you for voting for me. I'm just telling you, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. 47 years ago, Giants 4, Tigers 1. We must stand together, and we must be a family. It's a date which is going to live in infamy. If you don't use the Club Hawthorne app Sparkles, use it. I'm just telling you, you idiot. Anyway, as my friend, and he's a really good person, a really good guy, Dalai Lama says, happiness is not something ready-made. It comes from your own actions. And let me just tell you, I got a lot of action, pal. I got a 10-team parlay going. My God, that blonde is hot. Phenomenal. Wow. Anyway, in closing, my friends, let me tell you to tune out the matote, and I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Thank you so much. Cubs suck.
I'm just telling you, take that. Cubs suck. Take that. Thank you. Love you. Thank you. Where am I, baby? Where am I?
Wow, there's a lot of quotes in there.
You got to get all the advertisers in.
Right, but you got a lot of quotes in there. You had a little Ron Reagan quote in there. You had a little Bill Clinton quote in there. There are a ton of different quotes in there.
Only his mind would even think of doing that.
Abe Lincoln, Gettysburg Address. All
the thank you, love
stuff.
You just kills me. Yeah. Thank you, love you.
Yeah. I like the 10-team parlay reference.
Anyway.
She is phenomenal. Anyway.
He does show me a lot of 10-team parlays that he's got. I'm like, do these ever win?
There's nothing wrong with a 13-team stinger. I see him in Vegas all the time.
That's all he was doing. We were at the White Sox game, and he was going around and telling everybody who didn't want to hear that he had four same-game parlays going. We're like, dude, we get it.
This is the game Mendick left, and he had Mendick for two hits.
ACL.
And he already let off the game with one, and then he got hurt in between.
Yeah, but you know what he said? He goes, yeah, but I got another one with him only having one hit, so I'm fine.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
He's the best. Oh, that's hilarious. That is good stuff. Oh,
Jay he's the Hood. Best in quotations.
Well, I mean, come on. He's a teammate. He's a family
I'm
member.
I'm asking. What are you?
He's a family
the
member.
Quotations
we wish,
up there.
We wish him well.
You're excusing me. I didn't get the quotations.
He's the best.
He had the recap yesterday with his personal news. He's got COVID, so we wish him well.
That was on the recap.
That was on the recap.
Yeah, he put that out there.
He put it out there.
He's double boosted, vaxxed, everything right, so he's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Little under the weather.
No comment from Yurko.
No comment That's from Yurko, right.
Yeah, no comment from me on all that.
Common cold,
feet
right?
up on the
vaccines,
table.
The whole ball and wax.
Common
everything.
Cold, keeping you out.
Everything.
Is that, wait.
I got no comments on
is he on vacation? Is he on vacation
cheese.
This week, or is he out because of COVID?
Yes.
Or do we not know or allowed to say or whatever?
I don't know. I don't know.
He put it out there. We didn't put it out there.
Right.
He put it out there.
All right. As long as he's okay.
Yeah.
But it's a common
assume.
Cold.
But who?
For
that's
you.
Not what I said. You said that.
I'm just assuming that's what you
said. That. Okay. No. I don't have any thoughts on any of it.
Either do I.
Well, there we go.
Let's make it clear.
That we're in pretty good shape.
I barely have thoughts that make sense on Tony La Russa. You think I got thoughts on COVID?
Well, I don't know. You might have some thoughts on a bunch of different things that you have out there.
No, I really don't.
Well, okay. There you go, then. I feel sorry for you. I will apologize to the audience, though. I did forget Joe Burrow in my...
That's all right.
In my list of quarterbacks. So when you're running through your quarterbacks and you're going through it, and if you forget one, then you look and you place them... Yeah, you kind of feel like a caca a little bit.
That's why tiers work, because you don't have to squeeze them in. You just say tier two.
Yeah.
And I assume that's where he is.
I didn't have him in tier two. That's my point.
No, but now that you remembered him.
Right, I'd throw him in tier two for sure. Yeah. I don't know if I'd have him in tier one. These guys might have him in tier one.
Could he be trending to tier one?
Where'd you put Burrow, guys? Tier one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's in the conversation.
Herbert and Burrow are both tier one for you guys?
Yeah, they are.
For me, yeah.
How many tier ones do you have? Did you take Wilson out of my tier one?
18 tier ones.
Rodgers, Brady, Herbert, Burrow.
Allen Mahomes.
See, I told you Russell dropped.
And Wilson. And
Wilson.
Like, the start of tier two is like Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
They got a seven. That's right. Where's Lamar Jackson?
Tier two.
Tier two, yeah.
Tier two guys. Tier two, yeah. That's where I have them. I've got Kyler Murray tier two.
So I was right when I thought that Herbert was a little low when he first said it.
Yes. That's what, according to them, they got him in tier one.
But that's just them.
I looked at his stats last year, 38 and 15.
Yeah.
You know what 38 and 15 did for somebody? Won him an NFL MVP in 1995. You know that?
15 is good.
38 and 15 won him an NFL MVP. Of course, 38 and 15 in a 17-game season now is just a pretty damn good year.
Yeah, it's not
the best. But it's not, hey, how are you type of year.
Right. I mean, the 15 is even a little high for a 17 game, right? You want more like
if you're
10.
If you're 2.5 to 1,
yeah.
I mean, nobody's going to do what Aaron Rodgers does,
right,
guys. 9 to 1, it's not something that goes about the business every single day.
Right.
So, you know, what he does, you can't go ahead and compare every quarterback to him. He throws 3 interceptions in a year.
Now, fantasy-wise, the tiers probably look a little different, right?
Well, depending upon what kind of league you're in. How your league is scored. It's different for every single league and the way it's scored.
Right.
And there's a different value on players as you move there. And usually you wouldn't think there'd be a big drop, but there might be if, you know, rushing touchdowns and what they count for compared to passing touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, is Brady a tier one fantasy still?
Bonus
I don't even
is
know.
At 300 yards.
Black Abdallah is Brady tier one fantasy.
I think Jeff Meller's the guy that you've got to ask that question.
These two, they play the young games.
Well, we'll see. You don't play fantasy?
No, I don't play fantasy.
Oh, you don't?
I got three. We actually
convinced Carmen to quit this year.
Yeah, they did. So funny. Yeah.
They did.
I just don't play because baseball season goes into October and I'm too busy. But so you don't know if Brady's a tier one fantasy anymore. Probably not.
I would guess he is. I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Well, he doesn't run. When he does sneak,
guys like Lamar Jackson ahead of him.
Right, because the rushing touchdowns. Right. Yeah, for sure. All right, we've got Sylvie and Friedel coming up at the top of the hour. It's Carmen off this week. Jesse Rogers sitting in. I'll be back with Yurko tomorrow as well, right here on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
We'll crosstalk with Sylvie and Nick Friedel back in Chicago. Those two are going to be together for the next 4 hours. Saw them last night at the Vaughn McClure Jeff Dickerson event, which raised a lot of money for, you know, scholarship money. Saw a couple of the students there that won the scholarship this year's great event. And, yeah, had a few pops. You know what I mean? Just a few.
Of course I know what you mean.
You know.
Yeah, a couple of highway pops. It's always fun.
Right. I don't know. What's...
You didn't know what a highway pop was? When we left Eastern Illinois down in Charleston, Mattoon. And on the way back, we'd get a case of beer with me and the fellas, and we'd have some highway pops on the way home.
I did not have any highway
pops. Back in the day when, you know, nobody cared.
I had a couple pops.
Back in the day when boys could be boys.
Yeah, that's right. Boys could be boys. Back in 1986.
And I want to make it clear, I drank at like 7 a couple and then didn't drive home until 11:30. So okay.
Just make sure. Now you're a saint. Hold
now
on.
Tonight. Out there,
They're gonna nominate you for the Saint of the Year now.
Trust me, nobody's worried about you breaking any laws with your backwards hat and arc.
Right. I mean, I'm talking about 1986 when they used to drive you home when you were hammered to the bejesus.
Right. Now, this morning I got up and watched the White Sox game because I knew you were doing the same. Tonight, though, be home for it. Kopech versus Ohtani.
Big one.
You might go pitch. You might go all 9 innings for this one.
All 9 for this one, or at least till they take Ohtani out. And then, yeah, I'll check it out. I'll see what's happening. Plus, it's a nighttime game, which is kind of where I like it. You know, late game.
Right, 8:30.
But then I'll be retired already, you know.
Right, right.
I'll be horizontal.
You'll be what? Not highway pops, but, you know, home pops. I don't know.
Well, you don't know what you're drinking at that point. Could be an old-fashioned. Could be anything. Could be straight bourbon. Could be a Captain and Coke. Could be a Crown and Coke. Could be a Jack and Coke.
Carmen's drinking depends on how the Sox are doing that night. Right? I mean, it kind of increases on some nights, many nights.
Well, it depends. See, when he's happy, he could drink a little bit more.
Right.
When he's upset, he could drink a little bit more, so you don't know.
Yeah, well, but when Schwarber homers for the Phillies, he definitely drinks a little bit more.
Because he gets ticked because he's not a Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, I still get texts. It's number 22 for Schwarber.
Did he hit 22 again?
No, he's on 21, I think.
Yeah, he's on 21, heading to 22.
Yeah. And the White Sox lefties as a group have 11 total.
Yeah. Yeah. Total. I mean, that's what they have.
Yeah.
Listen, they've got to get healthy. If they ever get healthy, they've got a chance.
And that was Buster's point. We can't forget that.
Eloy's the key to get back. Right?
And it becomes a really long, lengthy lineup. Very right-handed still. But if your righties are that good, you should win. And they certainly were during the regular season last year, and they won. So...
Any news on Eloy? When's Eloy coming back? After the All-Star game?
Soon. He has to play.
August 1st?
I didn't see last night if he played the outfield or not, but that was the next test. He's been the DH in Charlotte. Now he has to play the outfield. I've asked La Russa when he comes back, you're going to DH him more often than not? And his answer was interesting. He said, I'm going to play him wherever it is to keep him healthy and on the field, which to me means maybe a lot of DH. Problem is they have several guys that end up being DHs on that team. You know, Gavin Sheets is really kind of a DH. We saw him drop a ball the other day in the outfield. Vaughn can play the outfield. But there's a few first basemen / DHs, and now you're going to add Eloy to the mix. He should probably. But wouldn't it be nice to see Eloy, Moncada, even Grandel, who had a good second half? Let's just see those 8 or 9 you know, that have been in and out of the lineup.
See that opening day lineup.
Yeah.
Let's see that opening day lineup.
Well, yeah, which we didn't even see back on opening day
right.
because Moncada was hurt.
Right. He was busted up.
It's just amazing. And, you know, we can't forget that. Buster's right. If they're healthy, it is a different team. We saw that last year. Though they played well without Eloy and Luis Robert for a while, and then when they came back, they were, you know, since the second half of last year, it hasn't been that good, even with Eloy and Luis last year.
It's been very mediocre.
So, I don't know.
It's a very mediocre team right now over the course of a year.
I personally don't think that just getting healthy is enough, that unless Grandel takes off when he comes back or Sheets turns into a monster from the left side, that I think this team has some problems. They don't have a balanced enough lineup.
If you're a winning team in the National League, you're in the playoffs. Do you know that? If you're a winning team in the National League, I think there's seven teams in the National League that have winning records. There's eight in the American League that have a winning record. The Cleveland Guardians being the eighth, they missing the playoffs because of that.
Right. So six in each league now, 12 teams total, and you're saying there's 14 or 15 total that are above 500.
Seven and eight, yeah.
That doesn't bode well for the second half. Like, watching these, who's going to go to these games? Even the Cubs, you know?
Well, once the kids go back to school, that's when things go sour for the Chicago Cubs.
For almost every fan base that's
They're
out of
They're hoping to get that gambling facility built over there, sponsored by DraftKings. Yeah.
As quick as possible.
That's really all they really care about.
As quick as possible.
Because the product on the field is garbage, so you might as well start thinking about, hey, how are we going to entertain people out here? Oh, we got to get this thing finished.
Would it be so Cub-like if they finished with the worst record that, and because of the first-year draft lottery, they don't get the number one pick? They get, like, three or whatever
it is? Well, they won't finish with the worst record. They're not nearly as bad as the baddest teams that are out there.
Agreed. But you did say...
Did they get the All-Star game is what I want to know in 2024.
That's not...
Haven't they been angling for that?
Well, for a year. Yeah, for years.
For a while they've been doing it. But when they're under construction, when they got everything done, but as long as you got that thing under construction, which is supposed to be completed in 2023... 2024, they would like to have the All-Star game.
Yes, they would, but it's not going to be based on the sports book being built. It's based on the city of Chicago.
No, I think it's also that all the construction would be done there, and you can't get anything until all the construction is done.
I guess so.
And then, of course, the city of Chicago and all the things that they have to be put in place because you're going to bring an All-Star game here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I guess so, but you would think he would just give it to them in 25, but they've got to work out all these details. I mean, the sports book will be up and running by then for sure.
Right.
Construction will be done, but there's, you know, your favorite mayor has to figure this thing out with the league.
Oh, yeah.
Security.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, yeah, I can't get you to say anything.
No. Nope.
312-332-3776 is the phone number. Save that for Sylvie and Nick Friedell back in town. NBA free agency starts this week. What a perfect time to have Nick on with Sylvie for the next couple hours, or next 4 hours, actually. We're going to crosstalk with them momentarily. You're not golfing today, but you're golfing tomorrow. I want to keep track of
this. Golfing tomorrow, golfing Friday.
It's
probably golfing Saturday morning also.
A lot of times we complain about summer. It's been beautiful.
I got no complaints about
it. It's been beautiful. I'm talking weather doesn't always
live up to
it.
Weather was hot.
I can live with the hot.
The only thing is, there's no rain. I mean, that's kind of the good thing that we haven't had any rain. The first chance of rain is Friday.
If you're golfing, you don't want the rain.
That's right.
And that you and I
don't want that. I played through it on Saturday. I had no issue playing through it.
Sylvie and Friedell next on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to.
Today's final word,
brought to you by Wendy's,
on Carmen and Yurko.
I got 10-team parlay going. My God, that blonde is hot. Phenomenal. Wow. Anyway.